Stacy. We're beginning through the book of Ephesians. We've entitled this masterpiece, Discovering God's Identity and Design for Believers in Community. What does it look like for us as we come together to be a part of this community, His church? What does that look like? Masterpiece, for we are created in God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are His masterpiece. This morning we're going to be in verse 3 through 14 of chapter 1. And I'm calling this, You Are Blessed. You are blessed. We went to southern Indiana, and a phrase I heard several times down there was, bless your heart. When you go south, you begin to hear phrases like, bless your heart. Now, that's not always the best phrase, because sometimes it has a meaning behind it. They look at my daughter, you are so loud, bless your heart. One of the waitresses, you have such curly hair, bless your heart. I don't know how to take that. I don't know what to say to that. I'm not from the South. And a lot of times I was reading about that phrase online, and a lot of people said, most times people are so sincere about that. They're saying, bless your heart. It's either a term of endearment or sympathy that they're saying, but there are other times when it's not necessarily used in that same context. Being blessed is much more than just saying, bless your heart. You are blessed. And this morning we're going to talk about some of the blessings that we receive from God in Christ, that He has given to us freely, that He has given to us because of His grace, because of His mercy. Blessing includes more than just saying, bless your heart. It means speaking well of someone. It means encouraging them. It means giving assistance or showing kindness, blessing them. Let's read through our verses this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. If I could have, I would have said that all in one breath. That is one sentence in the Greek. That is one thought that Paul puts together in the Greek. And in English, there's just no possible way to not make that a run-on sentence. So we've broken it up a little bit so that it's a little bit easier to take in each thought. But there's so much that Paul packs into this one very large sentence that he's talking to the Ephesians about. Paul's telling the Ephesians that we have spiritual blessings because we are in Christ. We have blessings because we are a member of his family that he is bestowing, that he is pouring out on us. What are some of these blessings? The first one is that God the Father chose us. God the Father chose us. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. Before he created the world, he chose us. How does that work? I don't know. But before the foundation of the world, he chose us. God knew that we were going to be sinful because God is all-knowing. God knew that Adam and Eve were going to make a choice that would affect all of creation and all of humanity, and yet he still chose to create. He still chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation of who Jesus Christ would be born. And then Jesus Christ would open up a relationship with God so that anyone, not just Jewish people, could be saved. So that anyone could have the relationship that God designed us for in creation. But God chose us knowing that we would be fallen. God chose us knowing that we would be stuck in our sinfulness, in our filth, in our mire. He knew that, and yet he still chose us. I don't know how many of you have ever worked on projects around the house. My dad and I was telling you, we've been working on some projects and trying to redo the basement to finish that, and we ran out of boards on Friday. So I needed to go get some boards from a store. So we go to the store, and when you pick up the board and you can see, it's not straight. And that's partly due to the wood and the way the grains go and the humidity, and there's all sorts of reasons, but you want straight boards when you're building something because you want things to be level and straight and corners to be 90-degree angles and all of those things you want to have happen. And so you go and you try to pick out the best wood that you can. And so we're kind of sorting through boards and piling them off the side, and I needed quite a few, and so it took us a while to find, to choose the ones that were the best. That's not how God chose us, though. God didn't pick through and say, oh, you're really good. I'm going to pick you. Oh, you always obey. I'm going to pick you. That's not how God chose us. God chose the ones that are crooked. God chose the ones that are twisted. God chose the ones that have a little crook. The end. God chose the ones who he knew were sinful from the beginning, that we all have sin. For all have sinned, the Bible tells us. But God still chose us so that he could form us, so that he could make us like his son. God chose us. He didn't just choose us and leave us the way we were. He chose us, and the Bible says that we should be holy and blameless. So that we don't stay that way. We don't stay with a crook. We don't stay twisted. We don't stay bent. He called us to be holy and blameless in his sight. How did he do that? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He made him who didn't know any sin. Jesus was born, lived a sinless life. He knew no sin, but he became sin for me. He became sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is called the great exchange by many. He took on my sin so I could take on his righteousness. A great exchange. Something that I could never do for myself. God chose us. God the Father chose us. And he made the great exchange so that I could be seen as holy and blameless in his sight. The Bible tells us we're not just holy and blameless, but we're adopted as well. We're adopted as his children. We're placed into his family. Verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He chose us according to the purpose of his will. He adopted us. He placed us in his family. I don't know about you, but I was never very athletic as a child. And so I wasn't involved in sports or anything. The only opportunity this really happened to me was at church things. They would have teams and they would start picking people. And I don't know about you, but how do you feel when you're chosen last? We watch competitions on TV a lot, you know, reality TV stuff. And people that are chosen last always, how do they feel? They feel bad because they're chosen last. But guess what? We're chosen first. God chose us before the foundation of the world to be adopted as sons and daughters, to be holy and blameless. How do we respond to that? We need to respond with thanksgiving to God for what he's done for us. The reality of that great exchange, that he took my sin and placed it upon Jesus Christ so that I could have his righteousness placed upon me, something that I don't deserve, something that there's no way for me to earn. But he did that. The second thing, the way that you are blessed, is Jesus redeems us and gives us an inheritance. You're blessed because God the Father chose us. We're also blessed because Jesus redeems us and gives us an inheritance. What do we truly deserve? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. The payment that sin deserves, the outcome that sin deserves, is death. That's what the Bible says. And it says that we've all sinned, so we all deserve what? We all deserve death, is what the Bible says. God's plan for Jesus was to become the payment for sin. That he would die once and for all and would make that payment. In the Old Testament, there were all sorts of sacrifices. They had to kill animals to make payments for sin, but that didn't last. And so they had to keep doing it over and over and over again. It was bloody. It was messy. It was gross. But they had to keep doing that over and over and over again to try to make that payment for their sin. And there was no perfect sacrifice. But Jesus came. He was sinless, lived a perfect life, and then he died. He was the only one that didn't have to die, that didn't have to make that payment. But he was killed on the cross and took my sin upon him and bestowed his righteousness on those who believe in his name. I don't know if you've ever gotten anything you don't deserve. In the church I was serving in Michigan, a man came to me, a friend of mine, older gentleman, and he said, "Do you have a snowblower?" There's a picture of a snowblower. He said, "Do you have a snowblower?" I was like, "No, I just moved into the house I'd purchased." And you know, when you move and you're first living life on your own, you don't have a lot of stuff. And so people tend to give you things. I had a lot of family that helped me with things, a lot of friends that gave me things, but this is one that sticks out to me. Because I'd been living there for several months and I hadn't thought about winter at all. But he had. And he said, "Do you have a snowblower?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to be able to use mine. My health is not doing that well anymore. I'm not going to be able to use mine, so I'm going to give you mine. I'm going to have somebody that's going to come and plow my driveway now." He gave me a snowblower. I still have that snowblower, and when I use it in the wintertime, I think about him. I've had opportunity before to use that snowblower to bless other people, older people who live in the neighborhood and they need help getting their driveway cleared. I have been blessed, and so I bless other people. But it was a gift that I didn't do anything to deserve. It was a gift that was bestowed on me for no reason at all. He saw a need and he gave it to me. We have the same need, but Jesus redeems us and gives us an inheritance. God chose us. He's paid the price for our sin. Not only that, but he gives us a future of blessing that we don't deserve. He gives us an inheritance. He gives us more than just redeeming us. He gives us promises of a future. Promises of eternal life and inheritance. The verse I started earlier said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, given something we don't deserve, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We're given an inheritance. We're not just adopted and seen as the adopted children. We're seen as true heirs with Christ of the inheritance. Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? If you accept his gift, you will become a part of the family. You will be adopted as a son or daughter of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. In Romans 10, it says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That is salvation in a nutshell. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Have you done that? His gift is offered freely. Blessings are poured out on us. God the Father chose us. Jesus redeems us and gives us an inheritance. And the final blessing is the Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us. After the believers heard the word of truth, after they trusted, after they believed in Jesus Christ, Paul says they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This sealing happens immediately. Sealing in the Old Testament, they would wear a ring. And they would have a symbol on it, and they would use that ring to sign important documents. It would be giving authority. It would be giving the truth that this was this person that signed this document. They would use the ring, signet ring, to sign things, to approve them. Kings would do that, but not only kings, leaders of households would do that. They had rings that they would use to sign and seal things. Rites of passages marked by the king. The Holy Spirit seals us in much of the same way. Today, we use notaries. We have a notary. If somebody signs a document, there's a notary that is there to make it official. They stamp it with that stamp that perforates the paper and changes it, and they sign it, and they date it. We've approved this. This is official. That same part of being official is the Holy Spirit's seal on our lives that happens immediately after salvation. It's immediate. The Holy Spirit, bam, seals us. I was talking to Ed this morning. I went out and did some visitation on Monday, and I missed them. They were in the basement canning. My parents used to do a lot of canning. We had peach trees. And so they would get the peaches, and they would can the peaches. I remember the process. They would boil water and get everything ready, and they would be cutting the peaches up, and they would be purifying the jars. They'd stick those in to get them all pure, and then they'd put the peaches in, and then they'd put the lids on them. And then they put those into the boiling water. And you wait, I don't remember how long it was, but as a kid it seemed like a long time. And you wait and you take them out, and then you have some more waiting to do. But does anybody know what you're waiting for? The pop. You're waiting for that. You're waiting for that pop to happen to tell you what? That it's sealed. I wish when somebody became a believer, you would hear. That's not what the Bible says that happens. But we are sealed. We are sealed in the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. It keeps the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. Right? That's what canning does, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Keeps the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, seals us. It is not only a seal of protection, but it's also a promise. The seal on our lives is a promise that we will receive the blessings, the promises of God that are in His Word, that are foundational to Christianity. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives, that helping us to become more like Jesus Christ, helping us to straighten our lives, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. That is God's work. That is proof that He is leading our lives. That we're learning how to keep the bad stuff out and how to keep the good stuff in. That we're learning how to straighten our lives according to what His Word tells us to do. The hope for the future, the seal on our lives, should be an encouragement for us to follow Him more. Should be an encouragement for us to obey Him more. Should be an encouragement for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and His leading in our lives. There are three reasons we're blessed this morning. We're blessed because God chose us. We're blessed because Christ redeemed us. And we're blessed because He gave us an inheritance. And we're blessed because the Holy Spirit seals us. But I don't know if you noticed this morning, as we were reading through Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, our identity. How are we blessed in our identity? We are in who? We are in Christ. Over 12 times in these few verses, Paul says, in Him, in Christ, in Jesus. It's spread all throughout there. He just keeps repeating it. In Him, in Him, in Him. Where's your location needs to be? In Him to receive these blessings. You step outside of Him and the blessings aren't going to be there. But in Him, you're going to receive these blessings. Sometimes the world can make us hard on ourselves. Sometimes depression can set in. Our own mind can cause us to be hard on ourselves. Sometimes Satan attacks and makes us feel down. But the Bible tells us in him you are blessed. In him you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. God is not holding back on you. God is not holding back on you. In Christ, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. In Christ, I am chosen before the foundation of the world. You weren't picked last. You weren't picked last at all. You were picked first before the foundation of the world. In Christ, I am holy. Do I always feel holy? Do I always act holy? No, but in Christ, I am holy. In Christ, I am blameless. In Christ, I am loved by God. In Christ, I am adopted as a child of God. In Christ, I am accepted in the Beloved. There's more. That's just a few of the things that Paul talks about. In Christ, I am redeemed through his blood. In Christ, I'm forgiven of my sins. In Christ, I am the focus of the riches of his grace. He just keeps pouring out his grace on us. In Christ, I am given a guaranteed inheritance. There's not many guarantees in life anymore. But this is a guarantee you can count on. This is a guarantee that is going to happen. I have no doubts in my mind about that. A guarantee of his inheritance. And in Christ, I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in life, when you're feeling down, read through a passage like Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. As a Christian, you are all of those things. As a Christian, God has poured out his blessing on you, and he is not withholding. He is not saying, oh, well, I'm not going to give them any grace today. Oh, I'm not going to bless them today. God doesn't do that. In Christ, he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Now, that doesn't mean that every physical blessing on this earth he's going to give you, but every spiritual blessing. He's blessing you spiritually in Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, you bless us so much through what your Son has done, and on a daily basis, you bless us with your love poured out on us and your grace and your mercy extended to a sinner like me. Father, I pray you help us to live our lives in such a way that we are a reflection of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. That we are a reflection of your work in our lives to straighten us and help us to become more like you. Father, we thank you for all that you've done and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.